Well, hello, ladies. Welcome to 60 Women in the Bible. I trust that you are doing well. My name is Nadia, and today is episode 7, and we are talking about, this is an evil queen in the Bible. Last time we talked about another queen. We talked about Abigail. Now, she wasn't queen when we talked about her, but eventually she did marry King David. And she became one of his queens, and she was a flawless woman, a great example to follow. But today we are talking about a queen in the Old Testament, a queen that perhaps a lot of people haven't heard about, because over the years, sometimes when I've brought up her name, Athaliah, people say, who is Athaliah? Yes, she was a queen, and she reigned in Judah for 6 years. And so we've heard about the kings of Israel, we've heard about the kings of Judah, but we forget that there was a queen of Judah, Queen Athaliah, again, reigning for 6 years, and there's lots to be said about her. Who was she? Well, you might not know who she was, but you will know who her mother was. Her mother was Jezebel. Jezebel, we've all heard of Jezebel. Even the world has heard about Jezebel, the Jezebel spirit. And let me tell you, Athaliah had the Jezebel spirit, something that was passed down to her. And this is an incredible story that we are going to be looking at. And so if you are a single person, you don't want to miss this. This is a great story. I'm going to be bringing out some important insights that you don't want to miss. And also want to speak into families, speaking about positive influences, godly influences. We'll be talking about that today. And also a great insight about Athaliah that in some sense, I don't want to say it's earth-shattering, but it is part of the big picture of the Bible. And you're probably thinking, huh? Never heard of Athaliah. How is this great insight important? Oh, you'll see. And this I will bring in the end. And so I look forward to a great episode today. Athaliah. Athaliah, she is talked about in two different parts of the Bible, in 2 Kings chapter 11 and 2 Chronicles chapters 22 to 24. I don't want to focus on those chapters because it's three chapters, but they are sister renditions. And so we can look at 2 Kings 11 and you can read later on. Sometimes you'll find little other insights. The story's a little bit expanded, and which is great to read. So just know that I will be making a couple of references from there. Now, before I get into the story, you know how it is. Sometimes when we talk about the kings of Israel, kings of Judah, and all these names in the Bible, and our head spins in a whirlwind because it's like all these names, who are they and how are they related? And it gets all confusing. Well, I'm going to put up a little simplified genealogy, which of course does not include everybody, but just some of the characters in the story that we're going to see today. And the reason why I'm doing that is it'll just help you follow so you won't get confused. Sometimes the names are a little bit twisted. I'll get to that too. But let me put this genealogy up. I will put it up from time to time as I speak, just so that you will be able to follow who is who, because it can get confusing. So, look at this genealogy. You will see, of course, on the left-hand side, you know, regarding the white boxes, King of Israel, and just kind of going down. And then the pink boxes represent the kings of Judah and that side of the family. And we will go from there. Now, we see Jehoshaphat. We've heard of King Jehoshaphat before. Pink box, right up at the top there. He was a great king. He followed the Lord fully as his father, King Asa. Now, King Asa, you don't see him there, didn't put him there, but just so you know, now Jehoshaphat had seven sons. I didn't show you that. I only showed you King Jehoram or Joram. That's also mentioned in scripture, so sometimes it can get confusing. You think, oh, they're two different people. No, they're the same. King Jehoram, he was the oldest, and he became king once Jehoshaphat died. Now, what you see he's adjoined there to Athaliah. Who is Athaliah? As I mentioned before, she was the daughter of King Ahab, one of the evilest kings of Israel ever, and his wife Jezebel. Clearly the most evil couple ever. So we see that their daughter Athaliah married King Jehoram. So you see that. And so what was interesting to note was that even though King Jehoram came from a godly father, King Jehoshaphat, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Why? He was married to Queen Athaliah. And so you know what he did? He killed all his siblings, his six brothers, by the sword. And so he was 32 years old. He ruled for 8 years. He died by an incurable disease. God prophesied that, of course, he was going to have this incurable disease, that his intestines were going to come out. Can you imagine? I've never heard of a disease like that, but he died a horrible death. That's exactly what had happened to him. And so I want you to focus on, he had a son, Ahaziah. Ahaziah, of course, son of King Jehoram and Queen Athaliah. He only reigned 1 year. He died. He died. And then, of course, you notice right next to that, you will see that they had a daughter. Now, there's a line put there. Now, I really don't know. I really don't know if, in fact, Jehosheba was Athaliah's daughter, because every mention is always that Jehosheba was the daughter of King Jehoram and not Athaliah. So he had other wives. It could be that Jehosheba was the half-sister of Ahaziah and the half-daughter or stepdaughter of Athaliah. I hope you're following me here, because you know it does get a little bit confusing, but I wanted to point that out. And she was married, you see right there, she was married to Jehoiada the priest. So they were good. So just remember that Jehosheba was good, and so was her husband, the priest, and they saved. There you see right at the bottom, little Joash. He eventually became king. He was a baby, and we will see in this story what took place. Okay, so here is the genealogy, and I'm going to be putting that up from time to time just so you can have that as reference, and I wanted to explain that all to you because it gets confusing, and I hope that that helped. Now, Athaliah. We like looking at meanings of names. What does Athaliah mean? Athaliah means God. Well, there's two possible meanings. First one is God is exalted. God is exalted. I don't know about that, but perhaps at the end, and yes, at the end, he is exalted. So right at the end, yes, he is exalted. So during her life, no, she didn't live up to that name. But the other possible meaning for her name is dealt violently with by God. Oh yeah, dealt violently with by God. Oh yes, and you will see that that's exactly what took place. And yes, she lived up to that name. Oh, I love the names of the Bible. Anyway, let's get into the story. 2 Kings chapter 11, follow with me. So here we go. We are starting right away. I gave you that little bit of background, the genealogy. Verse 1, when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw her son, that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs. Let's just stop right now. Here, we get to see what she did. Now, we know about the Jezebel spirit. We know how evil Jezebel was. You know what? That's why I say sometimes Athaliah was probably worse. She killed her royal heirs. She killed her family. This is a woman killing her own family. Can you possibly imagine that? Her grandchildren. Yeah, so Athaliah. But Jehosheba, remember Jehosheba could be her daughter or half-daughter, the daughter of King Joram or Jehoram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered. And they hid him and his nurse in the bedroom from Athaliah so that he was not killed. Little Joash is protected. And so he was hidden with her in the house of the Lord for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. Now, in the seventh year, Jehoiada sent, that of course is Jehosheba's husband, the priest, sent and brought the captains of hundreds of the bodyguards and the escorts and brought them into the house of the Lord to him. And he made a covenant with them and took an oath from them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. Then he commanded them, saying, "This is what you shall do. 1/3 of you who come on duty on the Sabbath shall be keeping watch over the king's house. 1/3 shall be at the gate of Sur, and 1/3 at the gate behind the escorts. You shall keep watch of the house, lest it be broken down. The two contingents of you who go off duty on the Sabbath shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord for the king. But you shall surround the king on all sides, every man with his weapons in his hand, and whoever comes within range, let him be put to death. But you are to be with the king as he goes out and as he comes in." So the captains of the hundreds did according to all that Jehoiada the priest commanded. Each of them took his men who were to be on duty on the Sabbath with those who were going off duty on the Sabbath and came to Jehoiada the priest. And the priest gave the captains of hundreds the spears and shields which had belonged to King David that were in the temple of the Lord. Then the escort stood, every man with his weapons in his hand, all around the king from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple by the altar and the house. And he brought out the king's son, put the crown on him, gave him the testimony. They made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, "Long live the king." Now when Athaliah heard the noise of the escorts and the people, she came to the people in the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, there was the king standing by the pillar according to custom, and the leaders and the trumpeters were by the king, and all the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets. So Athaliah tore her clothes and cried out, "Treason, treason!" And Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds and the officers of the army and said to them, "Take her outside under guard and slay with the sword whoever follows her. For the priest had said, 'Do not let her be killed in the house of the Lord.' So they seized her, and she went by the way of the horse's entrance into the king's house, and there she was killed. And then Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord, the king, and the people, that they should be the Lord's people, and also between the king and the people. And all the people of the land went to the temple of Baal and tore it down, and they thoroughly broke in pieces its altars and images and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. And the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. And then he took the captains of hundreds, the bodyguards, the escorts, and all the people of the land, and they brought the king down from the house of the Lord, and they went by the way of the gate of the escorts to the king's house. Then he sat on the throne of the kings. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, for they had slain Athaliah with the sword in the king's house. Joash was 7 years old when he became king." Wow, unbelievable, unbelievable. I had to read all that portion of scripture. Yes, I could have told you and given you a synopsis, but you know what? It is important to read the Word of God, to see it for itself, because there is power in the Word. I would never want to take away from that. So it's important when we look at these scriptures to not just talk about them, but to actually read them. And what an incredible story. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Athaliah killing her own offspring, a woman doing that? And as I said, she was the daughter of Ahab, the daughter of Jezebel, and clearly took the path of her parents who were evil, evil. And the text proves that she was not only a powerful influence to her husband, but to her children. And so we're looking at the scripture. You're probably thinking, okay, that's really a really awful story about Queen Athaliah, but why are we talking about her and how does this relate to me, right? Well, you know, scripture is like that. With scripture, every single jot and tittle is important. And we learn things from scripture. And in her life, we're going to learn not to make the same mistakes. Oh no, not about killing our own families, but there are certain things that we will pull out and derive from what we see. And so, as I mentioned, when we look at the historical background, Jehoshaphat, King Jehoram's father, was a very godly father. Look what 1 Kings 22:43 says. And he walked, this is Jehoshaphat, and he walked in all the ways of his father Asa. He did not turn aside from them, doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And so Jehoshaphat was a good king. King Asa before him was a good king. And so why did things go south? Well, Jehoshaphat made a really big mistake, ladies. He made peace with King Ahab on the other side, the king of Israel. He made peace with that evil king. And in doing so, he introduced a very wicked, poisonous viper into the family called Athaliah. And the moment that she came into the scene, everything started to go south. And we know King Jehoram, he reigned for those 8 years only. Queen Athaliah was by his side. And it says here in 2 Chronicles 24, again, those sister chapters or sister books to 2 Kings chapter 11, same story. That's why it's always good to go kind of back and forth, because you'll see little things that are perhaps not said in the first rendition. So 2 Chronicles 24:7 says, for the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman had broken into the house of God and had also presented all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord to the Baals. So can you see that? Where did this idolatry come from? From her parents. She learned from her parents. We see that. And so when Jehoram died, we started off reading that eventually Ahaziah, his son, became king. He only reigned for 1 year. We see in that whole chapter what took place right off the bat. Athaliah, she killed off all the heirs. She became queen, and her either stepdaughter or actual daughter, Jehosheba, she acted quickly. She grabbed Ahaziah's son, little Joash. He was about a year old. She took him. She hid him. She hid him along with the priest, her husband, Jehoiada, and they hid him for 6 years. Now, what do we learn in this entire story? There's a couple of things that we learn. First and foremost, parents set the course of their children's lives. Parents set the course of their children's lives. Listen, parents, don't think that, oh, you know, as my kid gets older, I'm going to teach him as he understands a little bit more. No, you start teaching your children the principles and statutes of the Lord the moment they start speaking. Teach them amen is one of the first words. Teach them to thank the Lord and to pray and to close their eyes. These things are established when they are young. So you can only imagine Athaliah with her wicked parents, both King Ahab and Jezebel, what she saw as she was growing up. She saw that they did not follow the Lord. They detested the Lord. Well, what did she end up doing? She detested the Lord. She didn't care for the Lord. They put up all the altars of Baal. She did the same thing. She followed her parents' footsteps. They were on a murderous spree and rampage. She also became a murderer. Do you see how the influence of the parents affect a child? And that's exactly what happened with Athaliah. Now, you know what? Let's consider some situations today. Let's consider a child grows up in a house without prayer. And so this child never sees his or her parent pray. They don't pray before meals. The parents just say, hey, dig in. We don't pray. This child doesn't see the parent pray at nighttime, pray at times when there's a crisis. There's no prayer in the house. Do you think that child will grow up valuing prayer? Absolutely not. Consider a child growing up in a household where there's very little commitment. They know about God, but that's about it. This child never sees the parent pick up the word of God to read, never sees the parent pray. In fact, the Bible is there. It's on the coffee table as a nice little ornament. And that Bible gets more attention when it's cleaning day. Oh yeah, wipe off the dust off the Bible. And that's the amount of attention that the Bible gets. Do you think that child will grow up valuing God? Absolutely not. Consider a child growing up in a household where the family serves God by duty, but not by love. Oh, ladies, there's a lot of families, a lot of people out there who are exactly like that. Yes, they will go to church. Oh, we go to church every Sunday, of course. We go to church. We punch in our card. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or not Sunday, but Sunday, they go to church for that little bit of time, but they're doing their own thing. There's no mention of God. There's no talk of God. They just kind of live their own lives. And oh yes, we go to church. We believe in God. We come to church. But of course, on a Sunday, when there's other events that are coming up, you know, things happen. There's sporting events. Oh, we can't go to church for that. Oh, vacation. No, we don't go on vacation to church. There's a shower. I have a baby shower. I have a bridal shower on Sunday. It's at 1 o'clock, but they don't come to church in the morning. They serve God by duty, punching the card, not by love. In fact, they don't even go to any midweek services. They're not interested in going to a Bible study. They're not interested in taking their kids and going the extra mile and taking them to a kids club. It's just duty. We know God. You know how many people are out there? So how do you think that child will be influenced? Yeah, they might go to church, but no great commitment. How about a child that grows up with no God in the home? They don't hear about God. Oh, yes, there is the parents. When it comes to the parents, it's all about satisfying worldly pleasures. And oh, we watch whatever we can watch on TV, we just watch. Little Johnny can watch too, and exposed to all kinds of things. There's alcohol in the home. There's drugs in the home. There's illicit sex in the home. There are affairs. There's divorce and all these things. And do you think when the child sees this kind of living that they will not emanate the way that their parents displayed? Ladies, so important to show our children, our grandchildren, teach them when they are young. Look at this. This is really important. Again, back to Athaliah, 2 Chronicles 22, verse 2. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. Ahaziah was 42 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. He walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, his father-in-law, for his mother advised him to do so wickedly. Therefore, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Do you see that? His mother advised him to do so wickedly. So let me tell you something, ladies. Here was Athaliah. She told him, be evil, do these things. Can you imagine that kind of influence? And so he did so. He heeded his mother's voice. How much more are we ought to, like, are we in this evil world, trying to teach our children good and leading them down that path of righteousness. Oh yes, there is that propensity, because each and every child, the one of the first words they ever learn is not so much so mama and dada, it's no, no. Why? Because they are born with sin. Every child, no, no, no. The propensity is to go off to the side, but as parents, as grandparents, we need to teach our children the ways of the Lord. We need to teach them. And so, yes, it gives them that greater opportunity to serve the Lord one day. Look what Proverbs 22:6 says. We know this, train up a child the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Oh yes, you train them, you do your due diligence as a parent, as a grandparent, as a spiritual mother and father. You teach children. And yes, they might deviate to the left or to the right, but when he's older, he will not depart from it. Oh, ladies, the importance of teaching our children each and every single day. Athaliah stands as that sobering reminder that things don't just let things pan out for themselves. Oh yeah, you know, when they're maybe 10 years old, when they really begin to understand, no. The moment they start speaking, teach them. They will begin to worship the Lord. They will begin to have a sensitive heart unto the Lord, and they will not depart from it. And yes, clearly, there are families that are raising children in an evil way, and that child eventually comes to know the Lord. And the opposite is true, that sometimes we as godly parents, we do everything that we can to raise our children, and then they go off. But again, one day, of course, they make their own choices. They decide whether they will serve the Lord or not. But you as a parent, as a grandparent, as a spiritual mother and father, we have that responsibility. We have that godly responsibility to instill these principles in their lives. And so we will stop right there for today, because I see my time is running out. And I remember last time, it went for a little while, but next time, ladies, again, if you are single, you don't want to miss part two of Athaliah. I'm going to be bringing out some really important points. I'm going to be sharing little parts of my own personal testimony. And one day I'm going to be sharing my entire testimony, but you don't want to miss it. And also, you don't want to see how this story with Athaliah is part of the big story. And so join me next time. I pray that this has ministered to you today. Ladies, let's just pray. We're going to pray for our families. Praise you, Lord. Father, we just thank you. And we praise you for your word, Lord. We just thank you. Thank you. Where would we be without the word of God, which gives us instruction, which gives us guidance? Because, Lord, truly, we would be so evil in our ways without you. And Lord Jesus, when we see the life of Athaliah and we learn the importance, Father, of just instilling godly principles and statutes and ordinances in our children's lives and our grandchildren's lives, Lord, Father, give us that wisdom to be the people that you are calling us to be. We pray over our children. We pray over our grandchildren, Lord. We want to see them make the choice to serve you wholeheartedly, just as King Jehoshaphat did, just as King Asa did. And Lord Jesus, we want to be people of God that love you with our whole hearts, O God. And so, Lord, keep us from evil. Help us, O God. Give us wisdom. Give us the guidance that we need to speak into our children's lives, into our grandchildren's lives, into the little ones' lives. Because, Lord, we know how the enemy is, Lord. He is after our children. And Lord, we need your protection. We need your wisdom. And so, Father, save them. We put them under the blood of Jesus right now. And we pray, Father, that you guard their minds, guard their hearts. Let them grow up to be people of God that love you wholeheartedly. We commit our families to you. We thank you for what you will do. And we trust in you each and every single day to lead us on the paths of righteousness. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, thank you, ladies. Again, we give God all the praise and all the glory. Don't you just love his word? Don't you just love his word? There's so many nuggets in his word. And I just wish you the blessings of the Lord this day. And again, join me next time for part two of Athaliah. You don't want to miss it, especially if you're single, especially hearing that incredible insight of the great and mighty picture in all of this. Bless you, ladies, and remember, make today count in the kingdom of God. Until we meet again, may the Lord richly bless you.